Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I was raised Southern Baptist, and anybody Southern Baptist, raised Southern Baptist in here? I see you're not willing to admit that. Okay. It used to be years ago that you would always have the pastor over for Sunday lunch. My mother, very sad, we used to call it dinner. She called it dinner. She was from Georgia, dinner. And you would have the pastor over for don't worry, that's not happening here. But there was a older pastor there that was sitting in a living room. The couple had invited him in, and their six-year-old son was sitting there with him. And they were just kind of staring at one another. And finally, the pastor looked at the boy. He said, do you know what we're having for lunch? The boy said, mm-hmm. He said, what is it? He said, we're having goat. He said, I'm sorry, what was that? He said, we're having goat. He said, goat? Why do you think we're having goat? He said, because I heard Daddy tell Mommy this would be as good a Sunday as any to have the old goat for dinner. Why do y'all like preacher jokes so much? Why? This morning, I want to talk about something that a lot of times you see up on our screens: live for God, grow stronger, make a difference. That's more than a motto with us. That's our heart. And in particular, I want to talk this morning about growing stronger, because here's the thing I do understand. Life happens, and life has loss. And so it's not if loss happens, and I know this is not considered positive, it's how do we respond to it. Now, there's different levels of loss. There's actually a stress indicator called the Holmes-Rey stress indicator. They rank different stresses on people's lives. Now, one of them did not make the top 10 is when you lose material goods, although I think that could be stressful. You wreck your car, that's stressful. You have your stuff stolen, that's stressful. You know, if you buy new clothes and then the first day you wear it, you spill a stain on it and ruin it, you've lost something. That's stressful. Didn't make the top 10, but it can still stress. Then a notch up is when you lose position, like when you lose a job. That's very stressful. When you maybe lose or you retire. Actually, you said retirement is stressful. I know some of you are thinking, no, it's not. But it can be stressful, because a lot of times you go from having a strong purpose to not having a purpose. And so that can be stressful. If you don't get in the school you want to get into, that can be tough. I can remember in college I lost an election. And that's you feel that loss. The biggest stressors you can imagine are relationship losses. Death of a spouse, highest one on the list. I would think death of a child. Divorce, extremely high. And so the idea is, and we're dealing with these things, is how do we bounce back from them? So this morning I want to talk about bouncing back, and I want to give you a story of a guy, and this is one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite texts I've taken over the years, but we're going to look at it from a different angle today, because I want you to see how this individual dealt with some serious loss, and yet how he bounced back from it. Because here's the thing, if you're stronger, your ability to bounce back is better. If you're stronger spiritually, then your ability to handle loss is better. It's not that problems stop coming. It's that we get stronger and we're able to handle them better. The man I'm talking about this morning is David. He was anointed by God to be the king of Israel when he was about 17 years old. Saul didn't get the memo. Saul was the king at that time, and Saul was not ready to give up the kingdom. And even though David was called of God and anointed of God to be the king, Saul was trying to kill him. And for 7 years, David ran. He had to run for his life. And he was joined by about 600 men and their families. So you can imagine, you had over 1,000 people moving around, and they had to raid areas and steal from Israel's enemies and really wipe out some of Israel's enemies. That's how they survived. And it was so tough on them. David said, he got tired of running from Saul. He said, I'm going to go and move into the land of the Philistines. That was Israel's mortal enemy. He said, and Saul will stop looking for me there. And that's what happened. He moved into Gath, and Achish, the king of Gath, gave David and his nomadic band there the city of Ziklag, which doesn't sound like a great city, but I mean, who wants to be from Ziklag? But he gave it to them, and that's where they lived. And so that became their base, and they would go out on raids, and the family would stay there. Well, one day when they were they'd been on a raiding party for 3 days. And when they came back, they found that a group of warrior group called the Amalekites had come in and wiped out the town. So let's see what happens here. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. The ephod was a garment that the priest would wear. And he would put on, so he wore that. Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired. He asked the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Here's one of the amazing things about David, is you see him and his men, and they come back. And if you're not careful, it's too easy to sterilize stories in the Bible. Here they came back. Could you imagine rounding the corner into your neighborhood and your house is burned and all your stuff is gone? I mean, that's your heart leaps up in your throat. And so they came back. The whole city was burned and all their stuff was taken. They had no stuff. They had nowhere they could go. No stuff. And so not only that, but they kidnapped the wives and the sons and the daughters. They didn't kill anybody, but they kidnapped them. You say, well, at least they didn't kill them. But can you imagine how your mind would work? What are they doing to my wife? What are they doing to my little girl? That's a horrible thought. Kidnapping, so difficult. No closure. What's happening? And then they talked about stoning David. I always have to use a reference. Stoning is not a drug term. It's a term where you would take rocks and not everyone was raised in church, okay? So you would take rocks and hit you with rocks until you died. It's a horrible way. And his own men were looking to stone him. So he lost his material goods. He lost his home. He was threatened by the very men he was leading. So he lost a leadership position. And his wives and his children were kidnapped. And I love the fact that it said, and David wept until he had no more power to weep. If the Bible had said, and David stood there and stood up and said, we're going to get them all back, we would have looked at him and said, he's not human. But he wept. They just sat down and cried until they cried themselves out. And then David was distressed because the people were against him. So David is under some huge, huge stress. But then it said, and David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, I've always taught it from that point. David strengthened himself from the Lord his God. But to bounce back, listen, this happened on one day. This is not over a period of time. Anything that happens suddenly, they'll tell you, things that happen suddenly are harder to process. This happened suddenly. And David is now dealing with this, but he strengthens himself in the Lord God, and he got back on track. Now, here's my question. How was David able to bounce back so quick? How was he able to deal with this kind of loss and get stronger? You say, well, Alan, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I'm going to subscribe something else to you. David was strong before he faced these things. He was strong. Psychologists call it resilience reserve. They said if you go into a situation physically or mentally, emotionally strong, then when the setback happens, when the loss occurs, it buffers you from the setback, and it also gives you fuel to get back on track if you go in stronger. But what happens is so often people are depleted when they go in, and then when they get hit with the setback, it's harder for them to bounce back. So what I want to look at is, why was David stronger? Why was he strong enough to bounce back? You go, well, he's King David. No, there's some things that David did that we can do that we can get stronger. See, my goal for you is that you are stronger. So, because I can promise you this. I can promise you that life will have problems. I wish I could tell you, no, you're never going to have any more problems. It's always going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. That's going to happen, but you got to die to get there. That's heaven. And if you're going to stay here, there's going to be problems. But if you're stronger, then your ability to bounce back when the problems come. It doesn't mean we don't cry. It doesn't mean we're not sad. But it does mean, hey, we're able to get back up and get going again. So this is the objective. Let's see what David did to get stronger. So I'm going to give you three things that David did that we can do. The first one is this. David had an ongoing relationship with the Lord. Look at his writings. This is Psalms 34. This happened before he saw Ziklag. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now there's a pattern here. Because sometimes when you say have a relationship with the Lord, sometimes people go, how do I do that? Well, you can take David's pattern here. Listen, relationship with the Lord is not just available for pastors or super spiritual people. It's available for you. You can have a relationship with the Lord, a close relationship. You say, well, how do I do that? You know, Alan, I live in the real world. I have to deal with real stuff. I get it. I lived in the real world. Still do. But the idea is there's some things we can do to bring God into our life that it's not a start and stop relationship. Do you realize that God wants to be more than a Sunday God to you? He wants to be more than just a Wednesday God. He wants to be part of your Tuesday morning and your Thursday afternoon. He wants to be a part of your life. You say, well, how do I do that? One of the best ways you can begin to do that is just to give him thanks and praise him. You can get up in the morning, take a deep breath and go, thank you that I'm breathing today. Thank you that I'm, Lord, I bless you. I praise you. I give you thanks. And just, you can praise the Lord on the way to work. Maybe put some music on. You can pray. But you can begin to bless the Lord. Now, you know people who brag about themselves. You can brag about what the Lord's doing in your life. When someone goes, man, how you handle that, you are just so calm. You really handle that so well. Don't look at them and go, yeah, well, I tell you what, I got it all together. You can go, I tell you, the Lord has helped me. Because if you'd known me a few years ago, I'd have gone postal on you. Sorry, post office. But I'd have gone postal on you. I would have gone off. And you can, when you're bragging on the Lord, you're just simply talking about what God has done in your life. Joy and I have to remind ourselves sometimes that she almost died, but thank God the Lord healed her. That we had challenges with our children, but thank God the Lord helped us. And so we're like, thank you, Lord. And the Lord is good. And so you can just brag on the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are so good to us. You are good to us. And then you can magnify him. Say, well, how in the world can I magnify God? He's big. How can I make him big? He get bigger to you. He get bigger to you. Anything you talk about and think about consistently gets bigger, whether problems or God. And you can begin to say, Lord, thank you. You are bigger than my problems. Thank you, Lord. And you can magnify him. So simple. You don't have to make it complicated. You don't have to quit your job and go to Bible school. You can just begin to talk to the Lord, magnify the Lord. I like David said, I sought the Lord. You can go to the Lord and go, Lord, I'm having problems at school. I'm having problems with my family. Lord, I'm having problems. He said, I sought the Lord and he'll hear me. He'll answer me. He'll deliver me from all my fears. You can take your fears to him. It's a relationship. It's an ongoing relationship. Bring him into your life. Here's the second thing. David had a relationship with God's word. I want you to listen to how David talks about God's word. It's found in, again, Psalms 19. The law, or you could say the word of God, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, the word of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired are they than gold, yet than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there's great reward. David had a relationship with God's word. He looked at God's word, it's like, this is valuable. This is helping me. This is enlightening me. This is warning me. When I keep it, it's a reward to me. And so his relationship with the Lord, with God's word was not a duty, it was a delight. Over and over again, you hear David talk about, I delight in God's word. I think about God's word. I meditate in God's word. Now, a lot of times I talk to believers and they're just like, I don't really read the Bible. And I want to go, oh, but you're missing so much. So what if we changed our approach to God's word? What if instead of looking at reading the Bible, you looked at it as something that's not a duty, it's a delight. It blesses your life. It's good for you. It's powerful in your life. What if instead of going, yeah, I got to read my Bible. What if you went, God's word is powerful. It is powerful to me. Hebrews says this, look at this. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is a spiritual living book. Now, here's what's happening. Right now, science is starting to figure out that God's word is good for you. Duh, but they're starting to figure it out. And here's what they're saying. They did a study with 40,000 people. It's called The Power of Four. They did a study that found that people who engaged in the scriptures, reading the Bible, listening to the Bible, reading it, listening, well, they found that if they do it four times a week, which is less than what we do here at the Ark, because everybody at the Ark reads Project 365, Bible 365, 5 days a week. We got it five. So they said if you do it 4 days a week, statistically, they did it with 40,000 people. Statistically, it reduced the feelings of loneliness, anger, and bitterness. Now, that's a help. And science doesn't stop that. It doesn't stop with that. It said if you begin to read, engage with the scriptures, that's a scientific word, it causes cognitive reappraisal. Hey, you learned a new word today. How about that? Cognitive reappraisal. It said that if you read the scriptures, it actually begins to change the way that you think about things and causes emotional strength. The Bible called it renewing the mind. Been out a long time, but science is now going, oh, look what we discovered. And we're going, God knew this all the time. He knew his word would help us. They said if you would just simply read the Bible, that it would actually reduce the feelings of anxiety and depression. This is working new neural pathways. It is helping your body. How about this? It reduces cortisol in your life. Cortisol is that hormone that starts the stress and all that stuff. When you read the Bible, you're reducing that stuff. He said, Alan, are you trying to talk me into reading my Bible? That's exactly what I'm trying to do, is talk you into reading your Bible because it's healthy for you. It is good for you. My parents used to spank me. I know. Some of you are like, that's horrible, but it didn't kill me. But my parents used to spank me, but this is what I didn't like. When they would tell me, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, I want to look at them and go, that's a bald-faced lie. That is a lie. I know that hurts. But listen, reading your Bible is going to help you more than it's going to help me. I don't get brownie points in heaven when heaven's going, well, Alan's got about 80% of the church is reading Bible 365. That's another brownie point for Alan. He moves up to platinum level. That's not how it works. How it works is it helps you. It strengthens you. It lowers your feelings of anxiety and depression. Don't look at your Bible as a duty. Look at it as something that is helping you physically, mentally, spiritually, making you stronger so that when problems hit, you're strong enough to bounce back. Reading will help you. So you're kind of fired up about this. Yes, I am. Because I can't pray away everyone's problems, but you can get stronger. and you can bounce back. Here's the last one. David understood this. He understood that your words and your thoughts have a huge significance. Look what he said. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm doing a whole series on thoughts on Wednesday nights. I hope you, if you can't come, at least look at it. Because it talks about how we're changing the way we think and how science and God's word are not conflicting. Science is agreeing with what God has said. This will actually change the way you think. But it'll also, but I want to talk just about your words just for a moment. David knew that his words were important. He was accountable with his words before God. Your words are so key because you're either talking the problem or you're talking an answer. And the more you talk a problem, the bigger it gets. 20-some years ago here at the church, we had some key people leave, and it really hurt us as a church. Joy and I really struggled through that. But one of the reasons we struggled through that was we talked it all the time. We would go home and we would talk about it. On Sundays, we would talk about it. It just became the constant conversation. And even though the problem ended, we just gave life to it because we kept talking it. You say, well, it says what? Says who? Says the Bible? Look at this. Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it eat the fruit. Listen, you can talk death to a situation or you can talk life to it. And we just kept talking the problem. And Joy and I looked back on it and we went, man, you know, the Lord spoke to our heart and said, he didn't leave us. We should have grabbed on to that, but we didn't. We just kept talking the problem and we didn't bounce back quickly. Now let's fast forward 20-some years. A couple years ago here at the church, we had a major financial problem that came up. We didn't tell you about it. We handled it on the interior in our staff. But here's what we knew. Joy had had a word for us. She said, the Lord's our Ebenezer. We're like, Joy. Joy knows scriptures from pages where my Bible's still stuck together. I mean, she knows stuff from the Ebenezer means, it's a word that means I've helped. The Lord says, I've helped you this far. I will help you to the end. And so when that problem hit, it was a major financial problem. When it hit, we didn't go, oh my God, we're going to die. We did not do that. What we did was go, thank you, Lord, you're our Ebenezer. Thank you, Lord, you're our Ebenezer. You have helped us to this point. You will help us all the way to the end. And that thing turned around. We did not breathe death into it. We didn't keep speaking the problem. We kept speaking the answer. And just recently, we've got the best financial deal. We're the best place financially we've ever been as a church. God is good. God is good. Our words matter. David, he knew that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. What am I saying is, David did these things and it helped him when he faced a setback. He was strong enough. He had resilience reserve. He was able to bounce back quicker. And you know you're bouncing back when you start thinking solution instead of problem. David, when he prayed, he said, Lord, you want me to go after them? He was already outnumbered. He was already severely outnumbered. He's like, you want me to go after them? And the Lord said, go, you'll recover all. David said, here we go. They came to a brook called Besor. There were 600 men. You're already outnumbered. And 200 men went, we're tired. We can't go any further. And David left them there and kept going with 400. But with those 400 men and God, they absolutely wiped out the Amalekites. They got all their wives and their children back. And they got all their stuff back. And they got all the stuff the Amalekites had taken from their enemies. So they actually wound up with more than what they started with. God's our Ebenezer. He's taking care of us up to here. He can take care of us through the rest. But here's the deal. When you know you're bouncing back, when instead of soaking in the problem, you're solving it. Instead of soaking in it, thinking about it, talking about it, just get breathing so much into it. When you start going, God will help us. We're coming through. God's going to help us here. David said this in Psalms 18. I love this verse. He said, for by you, by God, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. You say, well, I don't have to run against a troop or leap over a wall. No, but what's going on in your family? What's going on in your life? You can say this, with God's help, we're going to come through. With God's help, we're going to get stronger. With God's help, we'll move past this. With God's help, we're going to come out stronger as a family than we ever have been. With God's help, my kids are going to turn out well. With God's help, my marriage can get stronger. With God's help, I can do this. And now I start thinking solution instead of a problem, because I'm not in this by myself. You're not in this by yourself. We got God. It's the same God that David had. In 1387, a man was born in Britain. He was kidnapped when he was 14 years old and trafficked as a slave to Ireland. And in Ireland, for 6 years, he watched sheep in the northern part of Ireland, through the cold, through the wet, horrible conditions. But this man began to call out on the Lord, began to pray. He said his love of God grew, watching those sheep, his fear of God. He said, and his faith of God grew to the point. He said, where the pain and the discomfort and the bad living conditions didn't even begin to bother him. He got caught up. He got strong in God. When he was 20 years old, God gave him a dream. He said, if you go to the coast, there's a ship that will take you home. He escaped, walked 200 miles, got to the coast, and a ship took him back to Britain. When he was in Britain, he had another dream. This time it was a dream of a man from Ireland saying, would you come, O youth, and help us? He went to enter the ministry, got ordained as a minister, and then went back as a bishop, went back into Ireland, the very country that he came out of as a slave. But he had the strength to go back, and the strength not just to go back, but to preach the gospel. And thousands, he baptized thousands of people. He and his disciples started hundreds of churches. He changed the course of that whole nation. And on the 17th of this month, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And it's more than about wearing green and drinking beer. It's about a man that got strong enough in God to go back into a difficult situation and do something amazing. You say, well, Alan, I'm not King David and I'm not St. Patrick. No, but you got the same God they've got. And if they can be strong in their world, you can be strong in your world, and you can come through this thing as well. Guys, it doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Please know when leaving, we'll be out of here in just a minute. If you came and said, you know what, Alan, I don't even know where I stand with the Lord. I'm not sure I have a relationship with him. Or maybe you say, I knew the Lord. I walked with the Lord at one time. I've gotten away from him. I know it. He knows it, but I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But sitting right in your chair, I'll give you an opportunity to make a connection with the one who loves you more than anyone else, the one who can strengthen you and enable you to bounce back like nobody else. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if that's you that I'm talking to, I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you and you say, Alan, I'm not where I should be with the Lord, and I want to come back to him, or I know I need him in my life, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium? Don't be embarrassed to say, that's me. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, would you pray for me? Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Thank you for your courage. If you're watching online, this prayer is for you. I can't see your hand, obviously, but this prayer is for you. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Pray it out loud. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. You can pray this with us. We're going to lead you in it. You just join us. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Head still bowed just for a moment, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer, for the ones who have come to you for the very first time, and for the ones who've come back. We rejoice with them, at the work you're doing in them and through them and for them. Lord, thank you for that. And Father, I also pray for those who have dealt with loss, who have thought recovery is available for everyone, but not for me. And I pray that the entrance of your words would bring light into that situation, that they could realize that they can get stronger, that they can bounce back, that you are with them and that you're their God. Thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.